This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. An international incident from a TV debate. I welcome Sadanan Dume of the American Enterprise Institute. He writes for the Wall Street Journal editorial page about a story that starts with a debate and an ill-considered remark by a spokesperson for the BJP, the ruling party of India, that is now a trouble for all of India and the Gulf Cooperation Council, and as far as I can see, a Republic of India, because we're looking at a country that's still riven by its origins between the Hindu part of India and the Muslim part of India, all mixed up. Sadanan, a very good evening to you. The young woman's name is Sharma, and she made a remark on television that was ill-considered and unacceptable towards Muhammad, knowing this would in some fashion inflame spirits of the Muslims of India. And then what happened? Good evening to you, Sadanan.
Very good evening, John. Well, I'm not sure if she knew what the response would be, but I think it's fair to say that if she said these, she made these remarks where she spoke about the Prophet Muhammad's personal life and the fact that he had married one of his wives when she was still a child. She said this in an insulting way to denigrate Islam, and that has, of course, taken a life of its own. And what's happened, John, is that this has become an international incident for India. It's become both a domestic and an international problem. Domestically, it has roiled the sentiments of many of India's 200 million Muslims. It's the largest Muslim minority population in the world. It's the second largest Muslim population in the world by some estimates, either the second or the third. And so Muslims have taken to the streets in protest. And so we've seen protests, we've seen violence, when we've seen police crackdowns and so on. And then internationally, India is dealing with a deluge of criticism, particularly from the Gulf countries, but not only from the Gulf countries, from other countries, including Malaysia, Indonesia, many other Muslim majority countries. Have criticized India publicly for these comments made by the former spokesperson of the ruling party.
The spokesperson, Ms. Sharma, has been chastised and punished. However, it became worse when another member of the BJP official, Mr. Jindal, then echoed her remarks and accused Muhammad of a crime. This is puzzling. In 2022, recovering from the pandemic, given the success that Mr. Modi, the prime minister, head of BJP, has enjoyed these last years, not only for India, but for the whole of the Indo-Pacific, it is a strange timing. What is your suspicion of what's driving this? Why now, Sadanan?
So one sort of small chronological connection. So both of them were punished at the same time. So first, Nupur Sharma, the spokesperson, said this on television. A few days later, the other guy, Mr. Jindal, tweeted about the same thing and suggested the crime, as you said. And then a few days later, it all erupted on social media in the Gulf. And then both of these people, the guy who tweeted was expelled, and the person who was on television was suspended. But they were both punished at the same time. What's going on over here really is that the BJP has been trying for a while, successfully, I may say, to walk a tightrope between what it does for its domestic politics and what it does to benefit India internationally. So domestically, a lot of the rhetoric of its leaders and supporters tends to be very harshly critical of both Islam and of Indian Muslims. But at the same time, Modi has done a very good job of reaching out to countries like the UAE and Saudi Arabia and building stronger relations, stronger commercial and diplomatic and strategic relations between India and the Middle East. And what's happened in this case is that the domestic politics kind of spilled over into the international relations, which is the only reason, frankly, she was suspended and this guy was expelled. If the Gulf countries had not got upset, this would have just continued because it's, you know, sadly par for the course.
It is a peculiar time in the world of affairs, however. The Indo-Pacific region is in undevelopment. India is, I believe from your reporting, India enjoys attention from the Gulf that's positive. Mr. Modi does, but you say a majority of Indian citizens living in the diaspora live in the Gulf Cooperation Council countries. At the same time, the Gulf remains neutral on the story in Ukraine. So does India. They have a great deal in common. the religious enmity, 20th century stuff. When it comes back, though, I puzzle about it. Does it in some fashion connect with politics? Modi is all supreme. The Congress Party is in retreat. What could be driving this, given that India has its moment as a neutral in the European war to enjoy the fruits of its statesmanship?
Well, it's a terrific question, John. And I think what really happened here is that, you know, as is often the case in human events, she crossed a line. She wasn't very smart. Now, the Gulf countries don't spend a lot of time thinking about what's happening in India and what's happening with Indian Muslims. And even in this case, if you notice, what they objected to was perceived criticism of the Prophet Muhammad, this holiest figure in Islam.
Right.
And I think that what you're seeing this again and again. You're seeing that they seem to care less about human beings, that is Muslims, and they seem to care more about religious symbols. And this is not just in the case of India, right? We've seen this with some of the blasphemy issues where they sort of protested about the Danes and the French. And we also notice that many of these countries are completely silent when it comes to China's persecution of the Uyghur Muslims. So they seem to spend on sort of, you know, care a lot about what someone says about the Prophet Muhammad or how someone talks about the Quran or deals with the Quran. And they seem to care a lot less about the actual lives of Muslims, whether they're in India or China or any other country.
One more turn of the road. You mentioned Secretary of State Antony Blinken, unhappy about what he calls rising attacks on people and places of worship in India. This suggests, of course, that there's more to this. There's some geopolitics to it. Is Mr. Modi enjoying a rough patch here with the U.S. because of this sort of conduct?
So, you know, he has a pretty good relationship. And I think that the proof of that really is that despite the fact that India has not condemned Russia, despite the fact that India has, in fact, upped its oil purchases from Russia following the invasion of Ukraine, the U.S.-India strategic relationship remains in good shape. The Quad remains a centerpiece of the U.S. policy in the Indo-Pacific. But it's certainly true that compared to the Trump administration, the Biden administration does care a little bit more about being vocal about the human rights issues. And so this is something that Antony Blinken brought up while talking about a religious freedom report. I don't think that's the dominant theme of U.S.-India relations, but I'd put it like it's more like a thorn. But it's definitely, I mean, on the whole, the relationship remains driven by strategy. And I'd say on the whole, the relationship is in good shape.
And final question, I'm learning from you about the geography from a land I've never visited. The northern city of Kanpur, that's where the violence and the bombs were. Is that a vital part of the India economy or is that on the margins?
Well, that was at the time when I wrote the column, John. Since then, the violence has spread to many, many other places. So there have been protests, there have been stone throwing, there's been police firing in which people have been killed. There have been bulldozing of protesters' homes. So a lot of this is kind of, it's spread to many parts of the country. Kanpur is an industrial city in the most populous state, Uttar Pradesh. It's not particularly economically vibrant. And I think that's one of the things that people worry about, is that a lot of these protests and a lot of the violence is taking place in parts of the country that are not very prosperous. And people seem to have a lot more time to kind of squabble over religious issues because they don't seem to have other things to do.
Sadanand Dume of the American Enterprise Institute writing his column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.